This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kicking off your 4th of July weekend, here's Travis Johnson and Wade Smith.
Yeah, back at it again. I'm Wade Smith, a.k.a. Smitty. I got my dog, Travis Johnson, a.k.a. Trap.
Yo.
This is the Smitty and Trap Show. 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, we'll have you hold you down until Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts takes you for the rest of your day. But it's a lot going on in the world of sports. You would think there's not that much going on in the world of sports because there's no games being played. But there's so much behind-the-scenes work going on right now that you're trying to figure out, like, all right, what's going to happen next in the NFL? What's going to happen next in Major League Baseball? What's going to happen next in the NBA with the bubble? But sure enough, last night, Antonio Brown is back in the news, but he's back in the news for a reason that could potentially be a blockbuster reason here in the city of Houston. But it started with a workout with Russell Wilson.
That brought him a lot of credibility.
That brought a lot of credibility because he's with Russ, and you're seeing him running deep over routes and catching balls in stride and looking. He's in full uniform, looking like AB always looks. And people were saying, you know what, he's going to end up in Seattle. That's a great fit. You know what I mean? They have DK Metcalf. They got what's my guy's name? My dude from Kansas State. I can't think of his name right now. Tyler Lockett. They got Tyler Lockett out there. And if you add Antonio Brown, that's a three-headed monster that you don't want to have to deal with. So it makes a lot of sense. Seattle's the right kind of culture for Antonio Brown. I think he could thrive out there. But then all of a sudden, there's a random dude. I can't think of the name. Ben something. There was something. What you call it? Just said his name a minute ago. Adam Spillane. But the dude was so random. I don't know. I've never heard of this guy before.
It was super random. It was
It's Ben something or other, and we'll get the name in a second. But Ben comes out and says, hey, I have sources that say that the Texans and AB are having
Ben Stevens.
Yeah, shout out to Ben Stevens.
Ben Scott Stevens is his Twitter name.
There you go. What is it? At Ben Scott Stevens.
At Ben Scott Stevens. He's a Big Ten. He's a Big Ten alum, but he has like a podcast, a Nebraska podcast.
There you go.
That's so random.
It's random as hell. Like I was like, Nebraska podcast, went to Syracuse, Big Ten. Well, okay, whatever. But this dude has the AB news. And when I first saw it from him, I was like, yeah, right. But then all of a sudden, Chad Ochocinco tweets out AB going to Houston with the prayer hands. So Ochocinco, you know he's tight with AB.
They know each other from Miami.
So for him to say that, it's like, okay, maybe there is some more validity to this. Then Deshaun Watson posts a meme of Drake kind of looking out the window like, oh, really? So AB trying to come here to Houston? And so I just got to ask you, Trap. AB to Houston, is that legit, one? And two, how would it affect the Houston Texans if Antonio Brown came here?
It immediately make it. I mean, right now, we're a contender. Like, we're not pretenders. We are a true contender.
The Texans are a contender right now. You would say that.
I mean, you know why we're a contender is strictly on quarterback play from the start. When you have a good quarterback, it puts you in the conversation.
I think they're in the conversation to contend for a division championship right now. I don't think they're contenders.
No, I'm just saying, I agree. But I'm saying they're a contender to, one, win a division.
Yeah.
Two, they're a contender to go deep in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? If not, be a stepping stone into hopefully a Super Bowl, because they have the last few years, quiet as kept put together a solid team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people don't want to give Bill O'Brien credit, but, you know, it's actually pretty solid. When you pull up the roster, from top to bottom, you got guys who can play ball.
Yeah.
But with Antonio Brown here, it now gives us, I mean, you got to think about it. The only thing that's kept this guy off the field since he stepped in the league from Central Michigan has been himself.
Yeah.
He hasn't had big injuries. He's a guy who plays, and he's taken big shots before. And maybe it was the one shot from Vontaze Burfict that kind of rattled his brain. He hadn't been the same since. But I think as far as the way he prepares for the game, I think it's good for everybody from Will Fuller to down to Titus Howard. Like, because one thing is nobody's ever been able to say about him is he doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of those guys who you might not like a lot of things how he goes about his business, how he handles his business. But when he's in that building, he's a different monster when he comes. And I think he's a great example for young guys, especially how he works on the field. And I know people are like, great example for young guys. He's a bass hole. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, dude, like, yeah, he might be.
Yeah.
But we all came in the league with super vets who were always ornery dudes. Yeah, they weren't tricking off $60 million in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But they still were them dudes who were super ornery, weren't, you know, you'd be like, man, I don't even know. Jeff Scanino, one of the guys.
Yeah.
Who a lot of people, they hated Jeff.
Yeah.
I love Jeff.
Yeah.
Because Jeff taught me how to work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I had somebody in my life to teach me that way. And I think that he's gonna be big. I think it can only go up from here as long as he's in a good headspace. I think he'll be all right, and especially if Deshaun is around him, it's all about who people keep around him. You know, it brings me back to Pac-Man, yeah. Right? And everybody's like, dude, people hated Pac. But I always loved Pac, but Pac knew when he was around me, you got to act a certain way, bro. I'm not finna go to jail for you or nobody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is how we go about our business. I think the locker room is set up over here in Houston for people to surround him like, that's not going to coddle him, but they're not going to make him feel like he needs to act out.
So answer me this, though, Trap, because when you look at what's going on right now, we're in the midst of a pandemic. Everything that goes on over there at the facility is going to be different than what it was before. Does that play into the decision-making process with the front office with the Texans to say, okay, we're bringing in AB, a guy that is going to affect chemistry one way or another, and we're already in a precarious situation right now because you don't know what is going to go on with how we're going to implement our procedures, how guys are going to buy in, how guys are going to respond and be able to function within these new parameters. And then you throw an Antonio Brown in the mix, which is a volatile figure in itself. Like, is that something that could potentially be a deal breaker? Like, hey, we might have thought about doing this a year ago, but in the midst of this, it's too risky. We don't want to just mess up the chemistry of our locker room.
I don't think so. I think when you look at our team, it's funny. When we played here, we called ourselves the Houston Texans Denver Broncos of the South, basically.
Yeah, Broncos South.
We had all of that connection. Well, here, it's the Patriots connection.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
Patriots South.
And I think that this team has done their research. They know from top to bottom what these, like, they know Bill Belichick was willing to make that sacrifice. Yeah, his back was against the wall. He wanted to win. And if AB keeps quiet, let's be honest. AB, that first game,
He balled.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't stop texting. You know, so my thing is that they understand what they're getting into. Like New England understands what they're getting into. But I think also what's even better is because Antonio didn't have that. He didn't have that wake-up call because guess what? He tricked off the 30 in Oakland,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that he was going to get all his guaranteed money, which I think he's still going to end up getting some. But he goes to New England. It's really no consequences because he still gets that 30, but it's over 2 years. It's a different 30.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Still over 30.
It's still 30.
Yeah.
You know, but then he makes the decision to send a text message, a group message
at
that.
In a group chat.
In a group chat at that, that right there was a wake-up call, because now he's thinking, okay, somebody's going to give me a job. Somebody's going to give me a job. And when you're sitting at home and nobody gives you a job,
yeah,
and you're thinking, man, if they send that dang, if they send that severance check, that means I'm officially retired and I don't want that life.
I'll tell you what, man, whatever organization signs AB, they have to, it's just as important as the playbook is for him and getting into that. It's going to be just important of having somebody that is an auxiliary, supplemental person on the staff or people on the staff to help keep it in line with his mental health.
Yeah.
Because he is up and down night and day. He'll do something really outlandish and then apologize for it 6 hours later and sound really contrite and really
it's crack, heartfelt. Crack baby mentality.
Yeah, and you said this before, crack baby mentality. Like he's a product of, I guess, his environment and yeah. How he came up. You say he has crack baby tendencies.
Yeah, he's from the pork and beans, I think, too. Yeah,
so, I mean, that is going to be extremely important for whatever organization brings him in. I see him and I see those videos of him going off on his baby mom and going off on the police and all that type of stuff. And that's a bad look. And then he apologized for it 6-8 hours later. To me, that's a mental health issue.
It is very
and
much
so. You got to make sure that you get that part. That's got to go hand in hand with whatever goes on the field, off the field, in the meeting rooms. Hey, he's got to be able to have those people or that person that he can talk to on a consistent basis so that he can stay on the straight and narrow. Because if he's on the straight and narrow mentally, he's a dominant football player. He's arguably one of the best in the league, top three in the league.
He's technically, if he plays all of last season and puts up some of the stats that we know him to put up. Yeah. Let's be honest. Antonio Brown is two, at the most three seasons, away from being a lock in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, Antonio Brown is a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Even if he didn't play another down.
And if he don't play another down.
Eventually, he'll get into the Hall of Fame.
Probably when he's in the grave.
He's got, I don't think it's going to be that.
They made Art Monk wait. Decades on decades. And, yeah, of course, the game has changed a lot.
But our Monk, it's a little bit different
It's a different type of game. But
he was like arguably the second or third best receiver on that team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they kind of held that against him a little bit. But, yeah, I would say this, man. Antonio Brown is going to be a Hall of Famer straight up and down. There is no way around that. But can you get him back on a roster? How does he fit with the Houston Texans? Who has to leave because of it? We'll discuss all of that next.
Kicking off your 4th of July weekend, here's Travis Johnson and Wade Smith.
It's the Smitty and Trap Show on Sports Radio 610. Got my guy Travis Johnson, a.k.a. Trap. I'm Wade Smith. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Smitty74 all day on Twitter, Instagram, and at TrapJ99 Twitter and Instagram. Got my guy John Boudreau holding us down on the ones and twos. And we talked about it before the break that the Texans are in discussions apparently with AB and his people about him potentially coming to the Texans roster. And I'll just tell you what, man, if you bring in an AB, somebody got to go, Trap. I was talking with Adam Spillane, and he was of the opinion that, hey, bring in AB and you keep all the receivers you already got. In that scenario, you're going to have Antonio Brown is the number one. You got Brandon Cooks as the number either two or three. You got Will Fuller as a two or three. And then you got Randall Cobbs and Kenny Stills all on the roster. That's five receivers.
The numbers don't add up.
The numbers don't add up at all. He was of the idea of, hey, the merrier. You need one of those guys. But, now, see, that's the one guy that ain't going to be gone because he just got his contract. He just got a 3-year deal, I think 9 per year. He ain't going nowhere.
He's 9 years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't.
That's a whole nother discussion. We could branch off this conversation to talk about that. But staying on topic with AB, if he comes in, somebody got to go. When you look at the guys that are remaining, Kenny Stills is on the last year of his deal. Will Fuller basically is on the last year of his deal because he's on his fifth-year option. And then you got Brandon Cooks that basically has a year left after this deal. You got three guys that are going to want the ball, right?
Very
all good. Five of those guys are not going to fit on the roster and be happy. So somebody got to go. And so if you had to choose a guy based off of talent alone, take the money out of it, just talent alone, who is the guy that you would – and I'm talking about talent and age and what they potentially can bring back to you in a trade. Who is the receiver that you would let go in order to have AB here?
I think Will Fuller gets traded.
Will Fuller.
Hey, I mean, it's hard. When I'm looking at it again, you say Randall got 9 a year. So nobody's giving money to a 30-year-old receiver that's getting $9 million a year in a trade.
And you're not gonna sign him to a free agent deal 3 months ago and then trade him away.
No, exactly. I think when you look at them picking up the option on Will Fuller, but we look at, and it's hard to say this, but you look at the injury history, the games missed, all of that stuff. I think, and with his fifth-year option, okay, he's making money, I'm guessing, I don't know.
Somewhere around $10 million. Somewhere around there.
Digits. In the $10 million
range. Get that paper, young man.
I think you trade him somewhere. You trade him somewhere that needs a receiver, that's short a receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say, okay, trade him to Philly, but, you know, I don't know if Philly really needs somebody like that. But I think Philly does need, because who did Philly draft? Philly drafted somebody last year.
They drafted the receiver out of TCU. I think it's Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, Jalen Reagor. They drafted Jalen Reagor. So I think,
is that Monte Reagor's son?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Because we getting old, man. And when I saw Reagor, I thought Monte Reagor. But I'm like, damn, we ain't that old to where his kid is in the league now.
It might be, though. Yeah, I mean,
I would be happy for him, but I would feel old as hell if that's the truth.
I mean, here's,
you know what I mean?
Here's
because DK Metcalf's dad is Terrence Metcalf. And he came in the league, I think, 2 years before I did. He came in like 2001. So that makes me feel really
the kid,
old.
I think, that's Monte Reagor's boy.
So it's Monte's son.
Yeah, because matter of fact, remember Monte was on the TV with him during the draft.
Hey, man, I wasn't looking at all that. I know that's right. That makes me feel old, but that's fine. You know what I mean? People grow up.
Did you play with Monte?
I think I played against him. I would always hear about him because he played at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
They had some decent ball clubs back in the day when he was there. So, yeah, I mean, they have Jalen Reagor. They still have what's my receiver to drop the ball? Can't think of his
Aguilar.
Name. Aguilar, because Aguilar didn't drop the ball, even though that dude said that.
Yeah, it was Stonehands.
It was the other one. The main guy that came from Chicago. I can't think of his name right now. The receiver that came from Chicago that dropped a critical pass. They should have beat New Orleans.
Dog, why you put me on the spot like this?
That's what we do to each other. We're gonna put you guys on the spot. But they have some receivers there. Nobody that they're really
awesome. Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey. He's still there, getting paid a significant amount of money. Will Fuller would be an upgrade for them at that position.
No question.
I don't know what he would bring back, but another place I think Will Fuller could get traded to, or maybe one of these other receivers, a guy like Kenny Stills could get traded to, is to the New York Jets. Because apparently, you know, Jamal Adams wants to be a Houston Texans. That's what he said. Yeah. I want to be a Texan. So, you know, maybe you figure out a way to trade one of those two guys
and make a straight up pick.
It ain't gonna be straight up. You're gonna have to get something extra.
I think it's not gonna be.
You might get up to get Fuller for Adams, maybe.
For a couple dollars, end of the day is you got to think. Adams wants a new deal.
He does want a new deal.
Will Fuller wants a new deal.
He does want a new
deal. You know what I'm saying?
And both of them are going to guard. If they stay healthy, they're both going to garner a new deal.
Exactly. So end of the day is you're not trading the house for either one of them because you don't know if you could actually re-sign either one of them. So when you talk about
you don't even know if you actually want to re-sign Will Fuller.
Exactly.
Because Will Fuller is a hell of a football player, but you got to be available. And he's had a hard time of being available.
The best ability is availability.
No question. And so that is an issue. That's something you have to take into mind.
Oh, no question. I think when you look at, you know, what he's brought to this team, like I said, don't get me wrong. Like, Will Fuller is a hell of a player, and we love having Will Fuller here. But when you look at the business part of it, you say, you know what? We're gonna get a bag of peanuts and some tropical fruit bubblicious for Brandon Cooks right now, because at the same time, we know he might be one concussion away from being done. You know,
Brandon Cooks ain't going nowhere.
Exactly.
Cooks will get a deal before Will Fuller gets a deal.
I agree. Brandon Cooks
is their kind of guy.
Brandon
that
Cooks
is their guy.
No question. And Brandon Cooks healthy,
is nice.
Nice ain't the word.
Nice.
I mean, he's
a stack
of
year. He's a stack of year.
No question.
Guaranteed. I'm giving him a stack.
So, and then you look at Randall Cobb. Okay, Randall got the new money.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
Kenny Stills, I think his presence in the locker room and his presence in the city, I think garners him a little bit. Un poquito, garners him a little bit extra.
And he balls.
And he balls.
Kenny Stills, first game out to shoot, balling.
Just learning the offense.
Yeah.
And I think that right there gives you can't get rid, in my opinion, he's good for this locker room as a whole. And in my opinion, if you bring in AB, somebody like Kenny Stills, who's a conscious dude, who's a dude who has been able to, a dude who he would trust as far as he's been there. He knows who he is. He's, you know, like, he respects, I think. And the thing is, all those receivers in this that you're talking about, when you really cut it down, it's gonna be nuts if they get rid of Will. When you really cut it down, all of these receivers that they have in the building is under 6 feet tall.
All of them are little guys.
It's all relatively of, like, all, little. If we talk guys. About you know what I mean? If we talk about losing Will Fuller, it's all of them little, are all it's small ball.
No question.
And guess what? But you got somebody like AB who tough enough to go across the middle. Randall Cobb tough enough to go across the middle. And every last one of them, except maybe Randall, can stretch the field for you.
I mean, AB is just a stronger version of Brandon Cooks.
No question.
They're the same type of player, same body type, same speed. He's been more productive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Brandon Cooks has had a lot of productivity throughout his career. I'm looking at the text line right here. 574 said, nah, fam, it'll be Stills or Cobb. Like, listen, it definitely could be Stills is the guy that gets traded if AB was to come in. But Randall Cobb is not going anywhere, because if you traded away Randall Cobb, you're not going to get anything back. Remember, they signed Randall Cobb. There was no bidding war to get him in here. They paid him over what anybody else was going to pay for him. And so, I mean, he could have went back to Dallas, but he wasn't. You had to know that the money offered by Dallas couldn't be anywhere near close to what they did here in Houston, because if that was the case, he would have went back.
Yeah,
he had success there. He was there. It's still the same same state. Why would you leave? So the Texans had to pay a significant amount of money over the market value. And so if they try to trade him away, you're not going to get anything back.
No, you're not getting anything back. And here's my question, and Brandon Cooks is a stone-cold assassin on the field. You know, and I just want, I look at him like he's a hired gun all the time. Because, like, dude,
that's how his career path has been.
Confusing or so, you know, I can't even figure the word I want to use.
Yeah.
When you think about Brandon Cooks was a first-round pick. Brandon Cooks is a first-round pick, and this is his fourth team in 6 years.
He's a product of being with the New Orleans Saints when they had too many guys to pay, and he couldn't be one of them. And so they traded him away for great value. He went to New England, had a great year there.
Yeah.
And they were another team that's not in the habit of paying wide receivers.
They traded him
traded him somewhere else, and they got great value for him. He went to the Rams. He did well with the Rams, especially that first season.
He got a new deal.
He did a good job while he was with the Rams. But then now this season, they're in salary cap issues, and so they had to let guys go. They had to let go of some of their veteran offensive linemen. They're trying to get younger at the position, so they drafted receivers. So they let him go. But it wasn't like they let these people or let him go because he's not being productive.
No, he's not a good player. That's not where I was getting at. It's just crazy how, you know, career paths are so different, you know. And
people would call him a journeyman, but he's not.
He's
not the prototypical journeyman where he's getting cut by these places. He's getting traded for high-value draft picks.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's playing well when he goes to the various locations.
I think, you know, what's funny is when it's all said and done, I would love to see, kind of like when the Babin trade here for old school Texan fans, the Babin trade, which everybody's like, oh, you know, for some of you new listeners, the Texans traded back into the first round in 2004 with the Tennessee Titans to draft Jason Babin. And with those picks that they received from the Texans was, I think, ended up being like 3 Pro Bowlers and some other stuff that the Tennessee Titans ended up getting.
Wow.
And which was, I mean, it's ironic because Babin goes to his first Pro Bowl win when he goes and plays
back with the Tennessee Titans.
And
get him in that wide nine, so he's going to go to work.
It go to work. And I think you look at how people view this. Like, they say, oh, man, well, he's done this, he's done this. Like, dude, this is almost like prime towards, like, the middle of his career where he was going different places. You know what I mean? Like, it's fascinating. That's the word I'm looking for, fascinating.
It's fascinating. Okay, that makes perfect sense, man. But, yeah, man. I don't believe it. I don't put anything past anything, because when the whole DeAndre Hopkins thing came about, it came about very quickly. As far as it was on Twitter, there were rumors. I was like, hell no, ain't no way. They wouldn't do that. And then all of a sudden it popped off and the trade happened. But then you were like, okay, they must be getting first round picks and all this stuff for him. And they didn't get anywhere near what you thought they were going to get. And so it was just like, what the hell is going on? So the idea that the Texans are willing to do a move that might not be looked at, that might be frowned upon, that doesn't surprise me one bit. This move would be frowned upon maybe from a PR standpoint, but from a football standpoint, it would be a great move in order to bring in Antonio Brown, because he's a hell of a football player. And if he get his mind right, he's going to be here.
I think the important, I don't know, are we up against it?
Yeah, we up against it.
But real quick, I think the important thing is whoever's the director of player development, because they, you know, I think they fired JJ, right? Moses. So
yeah.
I think, so whoever's the director of player development, I think he's going to be
K-Rock,
just
K-Rock, dog. It's K-Rock. You didn't know that?
No. I didn't know they gave.
We're going to keep it pushing.
That's a great hire.
Yeah, we're going to keep it pushing. Listen, the NFLPA had a Zoom call yesterday, and afterwards, it seems like due to the coronavirus, brought up more questions than answers. We'll describe why next.
Got that pandemic.
Kicking off your 4th of July weekend. Here's Travis Johnson and Wade Smith.
Smitty and Trap Show here on Sports Radio 610. And I tell you what, groove to this real quick. Yeah. 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 But yeah, I have to groove to it sometime every now and again. We're going to do that. We'll do what we do. Smitty and Trap Show here on Sports Radio 610. And I mentioned it before the break that the NFLPA had a meeting, a Zoom meeting with their player reps. It wasn't all of the members of the NFLPA, but they had a player rep meeting with some NFL entities, and they were describing some of the procedures and protocols that were going to be put in place. And there were a lot of questions that came out of the meeting. There was way more questions than actual answers, because when you really, because we've been in this quarantine for going on 4 months now.
Yeah.
And when you start getting down to the nitty gritty of going into the locker room, figuring out how things are going to be when you enter the facility, how are we going to respond when situation X or situation Y or Z happens? How are we going to handle that? A lot of questions start coming up. And one of the things that they said is they're trying to make it to where the NFL players basically can get fined if they have reckless behavior. If you're riding home in Ubers without notifying people, or if you are going out to restaurants and bars and not practicing social distancing, that guys are going to get fined. When that hits you, Trap, are you a fan of that idea, or do you think that is something that is going too far by fining players for breaking certain protocols?
I think it's a little bit far when you think, and I'm on both sides. I think it's a little bit far as finding guys, because I mean here's the thing, we all know as pros, the first thing you learn is everything is a finable offense inside of a locker room.
Don't lose that playbook.
Everything is a finable offense in that organization.
Conduct detrimental to the team,
and that's the fine you don't want, because you mess around and be patient zero. If you the outbreak monkey.
If you Rudy.
And
what was his name? Rudy Gobert?
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, patient zero.
And you the outbreak. And here's the thing. Patient zero in a basketball organization is one thing. Mm-hmm. You patient zero. Like, basketball, yes, contact, but it ain't contact. You know, this is, you know, I remember, and I don't know if the fans remember, but in 2006, which was, it was 06. I think it was 06, maybe 07. We played the Giants. in New York. And the Giants, the entire week, the offensive line was sick from the flu.
Yeah.
They missed most of practice that week. They all sick with the flu. We go play the Giants. Well, the following week, just because of those games, of those 70-some-odd plays that we played, literally our entire defensive line was in 412, the VIP wing, by Wednesday morning.
They was coughing on y'all. They got y'all sick,
when
man.
When I tell you, I was, and I never forget it, because I remember Coob, me and Coob actually was about to, have a knockdown drag out about this, because...
Why are you trying to fight Coob, bro?
No, because, you know, it was, so it was like Tuesday night. So, you know, Tuesday, of course, and we won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Monday off. Mm-hmm. We had Tuesday off.
Mm-hmm.
So Tuesday, and I wasn't hurt, so I didn't come in for no treatment, nothing like that. So Tuesday, I literally get up in the middle of the night at 11:30 and go to the hospital.
Done.
Because it's coming out of both ends.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that wake up in the middle of the night when you sick, that's the worst.
And I'm sweating. Like, I'm literally sweating like a Hebrew slave, bro. I'm sweating.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I got to go to the hospital. Wife look at me like,
you hollered at Muntz.
Yeah. Call Muncy.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, like, dude, I'm going to the hospital. And he's like, all right, we got the room set up. I get in there, they pump me full of IVs. Coop calls me Wednesday morning, like, nobody told me you were sick. Listen, I said, man, I called the team doctor. And I called, at the time, was Bastien. I said, so you saying you don't know? I wouldn't have came here to the hospital if I wasn't sick. You know what I mean?
You got a problem with the communication within your organization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't come at me like this.
I'm already sick and out of it. You come here yelling at me on the phone, like, leave me alone.
Duh. So he's sitting there like, dude. And then it hadn't got out that the Giants were even sick yet. We knew they missed practice, but they never, you know, back then you could finagle the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it didn't have any reason. But his entire attitude changed when all of a sudden Weaver is walking through the door. He's sick. Mario is walking through the door. He's sick. Anthony Maddox is walking through the door. He's sick. And all four of us were sitting up there. The entire starting D-line is sitting inside of dang 512. In hospital beds until Friday morning, just about.
That's crazy.
But I say if one person gets sick, inside the trenches and inside the football game, it's so easy because I don't care what type of mask you have on, unless you have the Darth Vader we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna get bodily fluids on somebody else.
You said something within your story about playing against the Giants that really caught my attention, and it's something that I think could potentially go down, and the repercussions of it would be ridiculous. Could you imagine? Because you talked about the fact that they were on the injury report. It didn't say what they were out with, so you had no clue that they had the flu. You had no clue that they were sick. Could you imagine certain teams, when they have, if they have somebody on their roster that is asymptomatic, they have the coronavirus, this is a critical player that they need for this critical week.
Tom Brady ain't missing no week for the Rona.
Exactly. So if it comes out that, oh, this person got, you know, they didn't let it be known on the injury report, like what type of sanctions and consequences would it be for that organization?
They'll lose draft picks. They'll get fined. I think it would be
all hell would break loose.
It'd be earth shattering.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Now
it's the integrity of the game.
The integrity of the game. You're going to see lawsuits by the players who got sick.
Yeah.
Because now it's like not only a workman's comp issue, but my workman's comp issue ain't with the Texans.
Yeah.
My workman's comp issue is with these dudes who put me in danger.
I tell you what. The protocols that they're putting in place, because they said on the call they were saying that they were looking to do testing of players every other day, right?
Like what type of testing? The nasal test?
I don't know about the type of test, but they were going to do coronavirus testing every other day. Well, the players were saying we would rather have it every day, which is a legit way of approaching it. So you would hope that those procedures and protocols that are put in place would eliminate any possibility of something like that happening. But if something like that did happen and somebody did slip through the cracks, and it was on a Saturday morning that it found out that you tested positive, or a Sunday morning and found out, because I don't know if they're going to test on game days. That would be an interesting question right there. But if you found out that you might have tested positive, somebody might be like, "Oh, this is a false positive. This guy got to play. This, you know what I mean? This is a false positive." I don't know what type of repercussions would happen, but they'd be significant. They would be dramatic, and they would I think they would be long lasting because, like I said, if you put somebody in danger knowingly, if you knowingly put somebody in danger, they've tested positive, and you allow them to go out there and play because you need them out there on the field, it's like the worst possible thing you can do.
No question. I think especially because, you know, like this stuff's spreading like wildfire. And now it's not going to just be that. It's not going to be one person gets sick. It's going to be an entire organization gets sick. And imagine getting, after you play in this game, not knowing, you get on that plane with that recycled air.
Well, apparently from what I've been told, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw they were saying that the type of air that they're using in airplanes right now, it's like an ionized air or something like that to where it kills viruses.
Okay.
That's what they have been saying, right? I'm not on a plane to test it out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's true or not. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there has been studies, or the airline not the union, whatever. The airlines basically said that's what they use in the planes now, so it makes them safe for travel. And I think that's part of the reason why they said the hell with selling our social distancing on a plane. We're going to sell out of our seats because the air is ionized or whatever anyways. And so somebody text in 713-572-416. Co-sign what I'm saying.
UTSB or whatever they call it. But
I don't know what it's called, but basically, because of the air in there, the recycled air in there, you would normally think that's a bad thing, but on an actual plane, it actually is not. They use the type of air that kills viruses or whatever.
Okay, I mean, you know, it's gonna be. I still think if I'm sitting next to the guy who got it, no matter what, talking about ionized air or not, he breathed on me, and you know how it is after a game.
That's the droplets.
You know, you talking about droplets after a game. You know, I don't know how it was when I left here, but I know, like, when I went to San Diego, it was, you know, guys would be like, "Hey, coach, you got, you know," some guys actually bought the laptops to, we'll watch film on the plane.
Yeah.
And everybody's sitting on top of each other because it might only be three guys with computers when the video guys get done with it.
I'm guessing everybody's gonna have to be masked up on the planes. I saw that. I think it was women's professional soccer.
Yeah.
I saw them going on an away trip, and all of them had their mask on the plane. Like, everybody's have to be masked up. They're gonna probably put one person to a row. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know how they got, if you got the big plane with the three across, you'll probably have one person in the two seater, one person in the three seater, and one person in the two seater. Yeah. And there's gonna be the normal. You know that normally they'll have maybe a bunch of media personnel. They'll have a bunch of all them. They might have one or two people on the plane. They're gonna significantly truncate or cut down the amount of people on this place because you got to just stick with essential workers, essential people for you to function and to minimize risk, and so that you can help with social distancing.
Do you see the teams going to maybe having a raise cost as far as travel when it's saying they might have to have two planes, as far as like splitting the team up, say, "Hey man, offense on this plane, defense on this plane"?
I mean, I think it will. I don't think it would be such a bad idea to have your starters on one plane and your backups on another plane, because if you're on separate planes, you travel separately. And I think different organizations are going to do it different ways. Yeah. I think there's going to be a standard set of rules that every team has to abide by. But then certain teams are going to figure out the best way to manage their particular team and to minimize the spread between their team and keep everybody safe. So I could see a scenario where they might say the first team goes on this plane, second team on the next plane.
And then the third team, y'all.
It won't be no third team.
It's always starters and second team. So it's funny because after I said that, offense on one, defense on one, I'm like, dude, no, you can't really do that because the whole defense gets sick.
You're done.
So, first team guys on this plane, second team guys on this plane.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out
that'd
ways.
That'll suck if you ever get demoted during the week and all of a sudden you're like, man, you got to get on that plane.
Why are you on this plane this week? Oh, you ain't starting?
You
ain't starting this week?
Man, bump coach, man. He said I couldn't lose my job to injury. I come back. Now I'm on the second plane. They ain't even got the good snacks over here.
Y'all ain't got the good snacks on this plane. Man, I tell you what, they better put the good snacks on everybody's plane. Because you're not going to be able to, you're going to get on the plane and go to sleep. You're not going to do any of the normal things you would do. You might.
No dice game.
No playing cards. No, you know, watching film with your buddy or with, you know, some of the people in your position groups. They probably not going to, everything's going to be online. You're going to have online offensive line tests. Or y'all did D-line tests before every game, right?
Yeah,
so every position group does their tests before the game. That's all going to be online.
There's no paper. And that's the thing is, I think all the paper is going to be gone. All the notebooks, all the pens, everything is going to be like, if it ain't your own, don't bring it in here. And you know what's funny is, I guess you know what's gonna probably make a comeback.
What's
the little PSPs? You remember like the little PlayStation, little portable PlayStation?
Yeah.
When I was here, the entire offensive line with Matt Shabby had one. They would play poker, so they wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have to play with actual cards. So everybody's sitting around the plane, and they put their money in the pot, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
whatever
you didn't have to get out your seat to
and
play.
Then you didn't have to get out of your seat and play. And that was kind of, I think that might make a comeback as far as if you want to get certain things done on the flight.
Yeah, there's no more Blu-ray games on the way home.
No, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah, it can be good, it can be bad.
If you're a winner in Boo, if you're a Boo legend, you know, then that'll suck.
Put your kids through college through that Blu-ray game.
No
depending on such. Depending on how good you are, you can put a kid through it. Hey, that's a semester of school right there.
You know what's funny is I told somebody the other day, I said that stock market is like a Boo game, man.
Yeah.
Like one of them stocks, it'll boot a mess out of you.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you chasing that Boo with something else and get hit all over again.
Yeah. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Smitty and Trap Show. Trap, I was asked this question before you came on with Adam Spillane. He said, would there be any possible way that you would opt out playing in the NFL season based off of everything that's going on with the coronavirus pandemic? You personally, I had my thoughts on it. You personally, do you see any way that you would have opted out? Yeah.
None whatsoever. I don't know about nobody else, but our money ain't guaranteed. And NFL stands for not for long.
Yes.
And so, you know, and it brings back to another story. Which, you know, it's not story time with Trap today, but I'm gonna tell it anyway.
Already.
My
you got the green light always.
my oldest daughter, who she'll be 15 on the 15th of this month.
Yeah.
It was 2010. We were probably Super Bowl favorites that year to win in San Diego. I mean, we had a hell of a team.
Yeah.
And
we should have beat y'all, but y'all can't.
No, that was the following year.
2010.
I'm talking 2009 season.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We're talking 2009 season going in. So now it's 2010 playoffs. And we go into the playoffs. We lose to the Jets. I guess technically it was our first game. We had a bye week first in the second round of playoffs.
Was that LaDainian's team?
No. LaDainian was with us, but we lost to Dirty Sanchez. And this was Rex's rookie year, Rex's first year. Sanchez's first year.
Yeah.
You know, remember when they kept going to the AFC finals a couple years in a row. So my daughter gets sick and ends up having, she goes to having the flu, to pneumonia. She ends up having two strokes, seizures. She's in a coma for a month and a half or whatever. And I remember being pissed because I'm like, dude, at first I was pissed we lost, but then I'm like, dude, if we wouldn't have lost, this would have made me have to make a real live decision. Mm-hmm. Whether to go be next to my child while she's in the hospital, or play in the AFC AFC championship game, and I'm sitting there like, thank God the Lord made the decision for me, because that would have been probably the hardest decision to make as far as going, you know, like, dude, my child is dying, you know what I'm saying? Like, I need to go be with her, but at the same time, it's like, my livelihood depends on me playing in this game
And you have the opportunity to live out your dream and win a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so if you win that game, you're going to the Super Bowl. So you want to be a part of that. And so that would have been a tough decision.
But this
How do you feel? I know, because we're on the same page that we would play sure. How do you feel a lot of these guys, and we're talking about this 2020, guys are not, they're not all mentally the same as what they were. Guys are a little bit more aware of what's going on, and they're more willing to say, you know what, we'll step away from this game because it's not that serious. They're willing to.
It is.
I mean, How many guys do you think are going to say, you know what, I'm going to opt out and not play this year?
Unless they got 50, unless it's a Carson Palmer type, and I'm not saying just quarterbacks, but unless they got that's sitting on 50, 60, 70 M's and don't really care, he's the only guy opting out, because the rest of the guys are like, dude, I ain't got no check in 8 months. I need to work. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they talking about. But you got to think, even a guy like Randall Cobb, who's made good money in this league, back of his mind is, I can't go home to my wife telling her I left $9 million on the table.
What is she? Yeah.
It's just, I mean, where they do that at?
Yeah. I tell you what, man. So this is the thing. I think for the most part, you're right. The greater majority of the guys, you're right. But there's going to be exceptions to the rules. There's going to be guys that, like you said, there might be a situation with their child at home, or there might be a situation with a relative where they feel like, hey, because if you have a pre-existing condition, that's a pre-existing condition. Yeah. And everybody has to go home each and every day if you're playing in the NFL. They're not keeping them in the bubble and sending them away like they're doing.
I believe they should. I believe they should. I don't know how big of a bubble you're talking, but I think at the same time, to minimize the risk on your family, if anything, treat the whole year like training camp.
Yeah, and that's my thing. They're talking about going to this bubble. Like, they do summer leagues. There's times in NBA where you go away. Or really, for sure, in the NFL, you do it every year, especially depending on what team you play for.
Yeah.
You go away. You might have training camp, but you go away. You might go to a different state. They might sequester you in a hotel, and you're just buying into this is what we got going on. Guys going away for a significant period of time has been done before, and I think it's something that guys would be willing to do. Do you recommend that that's the way that the NFL goes? We'll discuss that and more next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.